Good morning. Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Today I got in the studio Max Pettit, principal of Cookeville High School. How you doing, Max?
Doing well, Sam. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, we had you just a little while back, and it was so popular that I had to get you back on here again. You know, we're shooting for ratings, so I got to have good ratings.
You got to go for the big guns then, don't you?
Yeah, that's exactly. I got the big gun in here today. Yeah. So I tell you what, anybody who can manage Cookeville High School, a school that size, in my mind, is a big gun. So we're going to dive into that a little bit today. Last time we had you on, we got to know you a little bit better, introduced you to the folks in this area. You know, you're not locally from here, from Kentucky, and grew up in Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah. And so we'll talk a little bit more specific about Cookeville High School. You know, we went through a pretty tough time here the last 2 years, and not only at Cookeville High School, of course, but across the nation with the COVID, you know, that took place. And let's talk about your first year. You came in your first year. I felt like, man, you jumped into your role and things were moving in a really good direction.
It was. And he was really confident there in the first semester of the school year. Things were going good. We were establishing some momentum academically and preparing for our end of course assessment. And then the tragedy hit us with the tornado. And it really took not only the Cookeville High School, but the entire community to our knees. And that was a struggle fighting back through that and getting everybody refocused and reestablishing some type of rhythm as we closed out the school year. And then not too long after that, Mr. COVID come knocking on the door, and we closed the doors. So my first year turned out to be a half year in person and a half of a year virtual. And then coming back out last year was such a different experience. We were doing everything we possibly could, Sam, just to keep the kids in the building, keep the teachers there, and have some semblance of a normal school day. And I think we were quite successful at that. But we did lose a little academic momentum, a little instructional momentum. The kids weren't holding themselves as accountable as they needed to be. And we're still battling that this year as well. So last year was a struggle. And we come out of the gates this year wide open, trying to get the kids back in rhythm. And that's happening slowly but surely. It's almost like putting one foot in front of the other. But here the last few weeks, we've seen our kids kind of settle down just a little bit, kind of focus a little bit, getting ready for finals and the Christmas break, and things seem normal.
So when you originally came into Cookeville High School, I know, you know, you were hired in a pretty lengthy process to find a new principal, and then you found out that you were going to be the guy. When you walked into Cookeville High School, what were your expectations that first year?
Well, it was a lengthy process. It's the most intense, detailed hiring process I've ever been through. Mr. Boyd and the board had a big job ahead of them. They needed to find what they thought was the right person to manage Cookeville High School and to instructionally be a leader. And I was just very fortunate, was actually shocked when Mr. Boyd called me and offered me the job, but so thrilled to have that opportunity. I remember the first day I was at Cookeville High School. I was standing in an area there in the commons, what they call the mezzanine. And there's one point in the school day where all 2,300 kids funnel through the same area, and that's during dismissal. And it was a wave of students. And I thought to myself, what have I got myself into? But the teachers, the community, and the students were so helpful and so welcoming. And it was such a good feeling to be a part of that Cookeville community and to be embraced and welcomed like I was. I was extremely happy about that. And that's continuing today. The support for me and my admin team has been overwhelming. So I couldn't ask for any more.
Yeah, the population itself, you're talking, you know, somewhere around 2,500 kids that go to school at Cookeville High School. You got a pre-K there that also has small children in there.
Right.
I mean, that's how many employees do you have at Cookeville
High School? We have roughly 205 faculty and staff.
Yeah, so, you know, over 200 employees. That one of the bigger schools in the state of Tennessee, and definitely in square footage.
Yeah, it is one of the top five in overall enrollment in the state, and it has the largest campus in the state of Tennessee with 400,000 square feet on the campus.
So let's dive into athletics a little bit, and I'm going to come back to COVID and kind of mesh those two a little bit later. You know, there's maybe some folks out there that think we got a really big school, 2,500 kids, You know, what would you say to somebody that says that because of that population, our sports teams maybe need to be a little bit better than they are right now?
Well, no doubt. I mean, we're coming off a 1-9 football season, and everybody was disappointed in that. And, you know, we're, from my standpoint, I have the expectations that we need to be competing for state championships, you know, district championships, regional championships. And I think that we have the kids in the hallways to do that. Just for some reason, they're deciding not to play. So we're going to have, you know, a meeting with our athletic department, bring all of our coaches in. I guess kind of outline those expectations once again, because we want and need Cookeville High School to be performing athletically at a very high level. I think the community expects that. I think our student body expects that. And I know that myself and Mr. Robbins, our athletic director, expects that.
I don't think anybody's ever satisfied, you know, with not winning the gold ball. I mean, that's what everybody plays for. And I think a 1-9 season is definitely tough, and we're just talking about football right now. But football sometimes seems to be the catalyst for the year as far as any school is concerned.
It is, and I've actually done some scholarly research on that topic of what the success of your athletic programs, particularly football, because it's the first major sport of the school year, the impact it has on school culture and student achievement. And Sam, you'd be surprised at the data out there that supports the notion that success of a football program, success of your athletic teams, it sets the tone, it sets the tenor for your entire school year, and the culture's better. Kids want to be at school, they want to be a part of the excitement, they want to fill those stands, and the hallways has a different buzz about it when things are going well.
You know, a person who might ask that question, you know, I think probably if you take a look at all the other programs that you have at Cookeville High School and the success that those programs have had, they may not ask that question. Maybe they're not getting the full picture of what it's like in a full athletic program from the start of the year to the end of the year at a place like Cookeville High School. By and far, very successful programs.
Oh, no doubt. We have some of the best programs in the state. You know, I'll put our fine arts department up against anybody, our choir, our band, our drama. You know, they just perform at such a high level, and I attribute that to the leaders of those programs. They're very talented men and women that are very dedicated and committed to it. They've raised the bar, the expectations, and the kids live up to them. And, you know, it's just it's recognized by the community. It's recognized by the state. As a matter of fact, Mr. Michael Choate was just recognized at the Country Music Association CMA Awards as a music teacher of the year. And fortunately, I got to tag along with him and share awesome. In that excitement. But, you know, that was a good time. But that's just one example, and we have so many other people like that as well. Those programs don't get the notoriety as some of the athletic programs, and it's sad because they are so successful. We have a cyber security team.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's one of the best in the nation, and, you know, we hear very little about that. So we got to do a better job as a school of celebrating those successes and getting it out there to the public.
I mean, I've watched those guys compete and all the way since middle school, and then they roll right into Cookeville High School. There's a good integration, you know, from that middle school program right into high school that's led to that success with you guys. And, of course, the guy that you've got there in the IT side that's coaching them up, you know, does a really good job with that too.
He does. Mr. Scott Waits, he's phenomenal with the kids. He loves it and just very passionate about it.
That's a great example. And you know, you take a look at some of the other, even on the sports side, you know, the tennis has done a great job. Golf won the district. There's district championships, region championships every year.
Right.
You know, so it's not a situation where Cookeville High School athletics has gone through a dry spell. Not at all.
No, it's not. We've had a tremendous amount of success across the board. But unfortunately, people are going to look at your major sports programs, the ones that get the most attention, the one that fills the crowd, and the one that kind of funds the program and brings in the most revenue, and that's your football and basketball programs, and baseball is, you know, coming in there in a third spot. You know, those things generate a great deal of revenue, a great deal of attention, not only from the media, but from the surrounding community.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it's a huge part of the community, and not only at Cookeville High School, but the athletics and the other programs that we talked about that garner that community support, not only at Cookeville, but at Upperman, at Monterey. You know, those are big community builders within themselves. And I'm fortunate enough to work at two of those schools here in Putnam County. And you know, while one's a lot bigger than the other, you know, the smaller school that I worked at in Upperman, you know, the tradition there that exists when I walked into that and had never been there before and got to learn that from that community was just incredible, and just feel very lucky to have the opportunity to coach and teach at both of those schools.
Yeah. Well, to be a teacher is something very special. But to be an athletic coach, in my opinion, because that's my background, that's what got me started in this career, is one of the most amazing opportunities you can have. I mean, when a parent says, "Here's my son," and you take that responsibility serious, and you want to teach him how to be a man out there on the field, and you teach him life lessons as much as you can, as well as the winning and the losing part of it. And I think Coach Maynard was superb at that. He taught lessons that went far beyond the football field. He taught young men that didn't maybe have a father figure in their life what it meant to get knocked down and to get back up and keep fighting and to become a man. And I think that's so much a part of this, not only football, but athletics in general. And Coach Maynard was a master of that.
You know, those measurements are all on an individual, you know, to what that means to that individual child, but that means so much in their future and in their life to come, you know, learning those lessons that are going to really allow them to get picked up off the ground and be successful.
Yeah, and I think last night you were there, Sam, at Coach Maynard's reception, and I don't know how many people were there, but we had over 200 people, and most of them were former players that remembered the impact that Coach Maynard made on his life and come back to celebrate him and hug him, tears in their eyes, and pat him on the back and tell him what he meant to him years back. And that fingerprint on him lasts a lifetime.
Very special event for him, no doubt, and I know he appreciated that. We're talking with Max Pettit, head principal at Cookeville High School. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again talking with Max Pettit, head principal at Cookeville High School, former 24-year coach up in Kentucky in football, a couple other things, but mainly football. So, Max, we left off. We were talking about sports at Cookeville High School in general. We're going to go back a little bit and get into that COVID situation. You mentioned when that all started, it was your first year. And we went through the tornado, you know, which was a terrible event for the community. But, man, it gave the community an opportunity to respond, you know, and help the people that needed to be helped. And then also to reach out to the local area and get help, you know. And not only did it come from the local area, the regional area, but it came nationally. And there were folks showing up just ready to work, you know, with shovels in their hand just from all over the place. And it was just a very humbling event.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. When I first got here, I was always had been told what a wonderful, loving community Cookeville was. Unfortunately, I had to find that out in the midst of a tragedy. But the response by the people from Putnam County, the students from Putnam County, surrounding counties, and as you mentioned, from all across the country, just flocked to Cookeville with helping hands, and it was amazing. We went out one day and helped serve some of the first responders. Miss Zellner from our culinary arts department, which is top notch, one of the best in the state, prepared lunch for them, and we went out there and watched them. And Sam, it was like those men and women were coming out of a war zone. And they were so grateful for just a cold sandwich and chips and a soft drink. But we saw that for months. It got so bad that, you know, we had to turn people away because there was too many people and we couldn't manage all of them. But it showed the true heart and true spirit of Cookeville, Tennessee, and it made me proud to be a small part of it. And, you know, I tell everybody I can what a great place this is.
Cookeville High School had a big part in that. And I noticed many teachers, coaches, a lot of athletes, programs out there helping along the way also.
We had a lot of students and faculty and staff that were directly impacted by the tornado. And we had a lot of people that that next morning, our baseball team was out there in their baseball uniforms helping out one of their teammates whose home was destroyed. So it was that family-like atmosphere. You know, we see this here at all the time, you know, Cookeville Strong. And I saw that firsthand, and I think many people in the area did. And it was amazing to see. You're right out through those areas now that was hardest hit. You can still see the evidence of the damage, but you also see Cookeville rebuilding and families rebuilding and life going forward.
Yeah, and it really, I mean, didn't matter where you whether you're at Tennessee Tech or Upperman or Monterey or Cookeville, everybody came together and, you know, acted as one to help the community.
Yeah, we put down our rivals for a while there and came together and just worked as a community. And that's a great thing to see. It's a great thing to be a part of.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, 2 weeks later, something called COVID shows up at the door. And then here we go with that. And it was tough in the high school because, you know, the state came out with basically no harm, no foul. You know, if your grade was good and you liked your grade, then you were going to be allowed to keep it. And that, I think that hindered us a little bit.
I think it did too. I mean, at the moment, it seemed like the thing to do because the teaching and learning became extremely difficult and holding children accountable for their grades. It didn't seem like the most important thing at the time.
That's right.
It was recovering and surviving from the COVID. People were scared, and people still are scared. You know, we see numbers spiking in areas still today. But I want to take a moment to commend Mr. King and his support team and the Board of Education. They made every effort possible to provide face-to-face instruction for the kids during this pandemic, as well as other options such as virtual options, such as the options that you're in charge of with Vital, to keep the kids moving on, keep them moving forward. We did so much better than the majority of schools in the state of Tennessee, and I would say across the country, keeping school going. And by the end of the last year, second semester, majority of our kids were in-house, face-to-face learning, and it was more of a traditional setting, but things were starting to rebuild back. And we're doing such a great job of monitoring our numbers right now. You know, our numbers in our district are extremely low. We don't have anyone in Cookeville High School that's positive at the moment. So we keep a close eye on that, and it's been extremely low all year long. And that's a tribute to our district office and them putting kids first and moving education forward.
We talked about your job, you know, coming in your first year being pretty tough, and I think Mr. King took over sometime in January,
yeah,
you know, for the district. And then, of course, the tornado happened when it did. And so within his first semester, you know, he had a tornado and then COVID hit. So yeah. That's a pretty tough way to start.
Yeah, that's the true definition of being baptized by fire, for sure. But he's done a tremendous job of providing leadership and support, you know, being very helpful with us and being, you know, being understanding of the difficulties that we're facing day to day in the buildings. He knows that. He understands that, and he's supportive.
I think you mentioned the school board there, too. I think, you know, as you're involved in that, you kind of see how that goes from day to day. And I think the most important thing for them was providing that opportunity for students to be in. We're one of the few school districts in, I know, Tennessee. I can't speak for outside of Tennessee, but one of the few school districts that had that opportunity. We didn't miss a day. I mean, we were there every day and had the opportunity for kids. Sometimes the safest place for a kid to be is at school.
Right, exactly. You know, we provided devices for those kids that didn't have them. We provided hotspots for kids that didn't have them. That was a challenge in and of itself to get those things distributed to the students so they could have the opportunity for learning to continue. Teachers worked hard. They were double dipping, so to speak. They were teaching face to face plus virtual teaching, and that's a tough task. But they adapted well. The district and the board made some changes for us. It lightened the load on our teachers, and that was a good thing. The morale picked up. So we fought through it. There were some struggles. There are still struggles. Every day it gets a little bit better. But I'm so proud of our teaching staff and our instructional staff and the support staff. You know, they were there and they were at work and they were eager to do whatever they needed to do to keep this thing going.
On the sports side of it, it was even more frustrating because you have rules that were put into place and sometimes it didn't seem like common sense was used in forming those rules. And I'll give you an example. In a football team, you separate folks into groups to practice, and that was the accepted method there for a little while. And, they were happy with it because at least they could get together and they could get out on the field and practice. But then, you practice is over and you watch these kids go get into a van with 20 kids together and ride right out of there. So sometimes it didn't make a lot of sense, but we had to do what we had to do.
Yeah. From our standpoint, managing the athletic events became a real burden. Keeping kids masked up, keeping them separated so many feet apart in the pep section was extremely challenging. We got dominated in the media when we didn't do that well, but we worked hard at it. Our kids cooperated. They got better as time went on, and thankfully that situation got better and better and better as we got further into the school year.
Yeah, not sure how you got picked on. There's like several games going on across the state that night. The same thing was happening, but we were the ones on the video.
I think it's because we have so many in our student section. Our student True. Section is top notch.
There's no doubt about that. So, Max, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll pick right up on the discussion when we get back. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again with Max Pettit in the house today, talking about all aspects of Cookeville High School sports and learning in general. When we went through the commercial, we were talking about how sports changed when COVID hit, and we'll spend just a little bit more time on that. But I just do want to give a shout out to the folks, the athletes, that went through that semester there at the end of the year when it hit us in March and we closed down schools. And, a lot of events we weren't able to do a lot of events. Graduation was different. The games, if they were able to do them, I know baseball just kind of ended, right then. Most of the things in the spring was just over. And then we were left to going into the summer with all of these new rules. How as a leader of a building that big and sports teams that are going into that summer, how did you handle that situation with your coaches?
Well, it was difficult. You have kids that have worked hard for 4 years preparing for that senior year and excited about it and come in with enthusiasm and then only to find out that I'm not going to be able to play my season and to have that jerked out from under you. So we had a lot of depressed, disappointed kids in the building as well as coaches. And it was very difficult to deal with. And it was heartbreaking to see those kids not be able to play their senior year. We had some outstanding athletes, Division I caliber athletes, that didn't get a chance to participate their senior year. So that was heartbreaking. But it also motivated the coaches and the underclassmen to say, hey, I better enjoy this and appreciate it a little bit more. And they continued to work hard and looking forward to the next season. And so that was the positive of it. But, we really did have some fallout that was hard to deal with.
Yeah. You fast forward to right now, and you've said it a couple times already, things are really starting to get a lot better. We're able to gather more than we ever have now. The mask thing is the mask thing. I'm not even going to touch on that because you got people on both sides of that deal, and I'm not even going to get into that. But, you get in a situation this year, and we talked about Coach Maynard, and I'll get back into that right now, but going into his last year probably didn't end up the way that he wanted to end up, but a lot of things he dealt with through this year.
That's true. And, just to touch back on able to gather, there's a sense of appreciation from our students, our parents, and the community, and our faculty and staff that we can come together and enjoy these events together. Our first few football games, our kids were excited. The fans were packed. The stands were packed, and a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of optimism about the upcoming season, not only for football, but all the other fall sports that were going on. Hey, we're able to get together and do these things. So they appreciated it. It made the start of the year enthusiastic, that's for sure.
And we get into the year, and, you know, we're almost halfway through now, and now you found out you're going to have to replace a coach. You know, we had one of the kids really on the team get seriously ill right in the middle of the season, which, man, heart goes out to that young man.
Yeah, we Coach Maynard, his final season, and he would admit this, did not go according to his plans. And it's not always about what happened on the field. Sometimes we had injuries. We had Mr. Carter Apple was diagnosed with a form of cancer. He right now is still in St. Jude's, I understand, going through treatment. And Carter was a big part of that team, and the kids love Carter, and the students and the teachers love Carter. He's one of my favorite students because he's a UK fan.
I imagine that.
Yeah, and you know, and when that happened, it kind of took the wind out of their sail just for a little bit, and you know, they had a hard time regrouping and moving forward as a unit. You know, some of the kids on the football team shaved their head, and they talked me into doing that too. So I got the razors out and took it down. It wasn't the prettiest thing in the world. My wife just looks at me and shakes her head. But you know, we're constantly thinking about Carter and praying for him. Talked to his mom just a couple of days ago, and Carter went through a rough weekend, had to go into ICU, but came out and is doing well now, and his treatments are going good.
So much support, you know. I'm on Facebook all the time with my job, and so much support, you know, coming out for him. And, you know, I've known the family for a long time, and like you, just pray for the well-being of him. And, you know, I saw yesterday Peyton Manning did a little video for him, and I thought just really how people, it's kind of like the tornado. This community just is incredible,
right?
In how they respond to needs.
That is, you know, John Calipari sent him one in the very beginning. When everybody shaved their head, I sent him a video, and I said, "I'm not Coach Calipari, but he didn't shave his head for you like I'm going to." And then to hear that Peyton reached out to him, Peyton is an amazing human being. For everything I've heard about him, that he is really benevolent and has a heart of gold. So that's awesome. I know that'll mean a lot to that
Taylor
family.
Lewan, I think, for the Titans reached out to him. It's just, you know, just to get those little positive notes from people is really good for him. And as you said, we continue to hope and pray, you know, everything works out, and just praying for the family every day that he gets better. And just a lot of people out there thinking about him and fighting for him. So, hope he's listening and hope he hears this and just knows how many people are thinking about him. So we move on into the obvious conversation we needed to have as this interview is going to come out pretty quickly. With the retiring of Jimmy Maynard, you're looking for a new coach.
Yes, we are. You know, I hated to see Jimmy get out. Jimmy has a legacy of being a great coach in all the places he's been, but he decided it was time. And that opened up a position, and we posted the position, posted it nationwide, and we have over 50 applications representing 14 states across the country. So we're happy that Cookeville High School football has garnered that much excitement and interest by some quality coaches. And we have some outstanding applications, outstanding men with a lot of experience, and we'll begin this Thursday night looking at those applications and narrowing the field down and starting the interview process on the 13th.
You got a very unique perspective, Max, in that you coach football for 24 years and at a very high level and at some good schools, some really good schools. So how does that help you in this process?
Well, I mean, I've been at different schools. I've been in rural schools, and I've been in private large schools, and not really an inner city school, but a school that you would say was kind of across the tracks, and been very fortunate to be successful at a high level in all of those programs. Certainly not because of me, but just because we had good athletes. But I've seen a lot of good coaches, and I've worked under good coaches. I've worked under Hall of Fame coaches, state championship coaches, and it's given me the opportunity to see the quality of a man that it takes to be a head football coach. It's going to take your program to the next level. And I've been around it my whole life. You know, my dad was a coach. He had me at the football field when I was just in diapers. And, you know, that's kind of all I know, Sam, is ball and school. And I feel like I have a good handle on what it takes. And I know Steve Robbins is working very closely with me, and he's about the same shape I am. He can't change a battery in a car, but he knows a good football coach. And so that's kind of where we're coming from, a perspective that, you know, we've seen this our whole life. We know the qualities and characteristics, the integrity of a man that we're looking for to fill this job, because it's an important hire, not only for the program and the school, but for this community. And we want to make sure we get it right.
Yeah, and the process is pretty transparent. You know, you've got a group of folks that's helping you, and you're going to really take a look at all the applications of 50 that you have plus, and kind of, you know, a list of requirements, of course, is out there as it would be in any job description. And so you kind of get rid of the applications that that person don't fit the mold or is not qualified.
Right.
And then you come up with probably a list of somewhere 5 to 10 applicants that you would like to go through the interview process.
Yeah, we have formed a committee. We got about 10 folks on that committee. That's a fairly large hiring committee. And they are all deeply vested in Cookeville High School, not only just with football program, but the school in general. They really care about it and want it to be the best. So I think we have an outstanding group of men and women that are there that's going to look at this from a transparent standpoint and truly seek to find the best qualified coach that's in that applicant pool. Yeah, we're going to narrow it down, Sam, as you mentioned, and take our top candidates after a thorough investigation of their resumes and do reference checks, you know, do our due diligence to find the right person.
So if you could just pick and choose, you know, what traits that you want this new leader, this new coach at Cookeville High School to have, what stands out in your mind?
Well, I can't say just one, but I want a person of faith, high integrity, morals, that is concerned about building men, building them into someone that their families are going to be proud of, someone that builds men as they leave your program and they go out to the rest of their life. They look back at Cookeville High School and look back, have positive feelings, but they're prepared to go on out into the community and share the same things that's been shared with them and make a positive contribution. Now, with that being said, those are the intangibles that I would like to see out of a coach. But also want to see a coach that has high expectations and has a state championship in his crosshairs. I feel like it's within our reach.
I think it is too. And you know, we've been to the semifinals recently. You know, Coach Jocelyn was here before. They went to the semifinals. Coach Maynard took them to the semifinals. So the folks out there that, you know, don't think that you can get to that level at Cookeville High School, I don't see any, you know, I would argue against that. If you work the middle schools and you get things moving in the right direction, there's no reason Cookeville High School can't compete for state championships.
Right. And, you know, this is just my third year, and I'm not saying it hadn't happened, but we need to get in those middle schools. We need to know those players. Those kids need to want to come to Cookeville High School, and there needs to be an excitement, a buzz around that program where kids are excited about that and they're interested and they want to be a part of what's going on there. So, you know, those are some of the things that we're going to be looking for.
Well, it's going to be exciting. I know the next couple of weeks, I think you want to have a coach hired at least sometime mid-December.
Yeah, our goal is to name a coach and have a press release on December 17th.
Okay, so that's a pretty quick turnaround, pretty quick process, and I know the community will be happy that you're doing it that quick so the kids can know who their coach is going to be. So we wish you much luck on that process and continued success at Cookeville High School. I think you're leading the school definitely in the right direction, and you're an accountable leader, and you're there for the teachers every day, and you know, the community hears that. So appreciate you for what you do, and good luck with the hiring with the new coach.
Well, thanks, Sam. I appreciate it, and thanks for the opportunity to come on with you.
Yeah, we always appreciate it. We'll have you back, too, real soon. Thanks, Coach.